everybody. Episode number 199 of Shop Talk. Perilously close to 200. So, you know, this, I thought that we'd take this opportunity in this one to have me and Dave reminisce on the past of Shop Talk. And kind of for real too, you know, think about some of the guests we've had on, some of the episodes that we've done, what it's been like running a show like Shop Talk show. We've never done that before. So in the grand theme of approaching our 200th episode, that's what we're going to do this time. The episode is sponsored by two amazing companies. One of them is Braintree. I bet you've heard of Braintree. It's an app for taking payments online. Developers around the world, they say, have embraced the Braintree V.0 SDK as the easiest way to secure mobile payments and apps to their websites, no matter what payment type. Braintree accepts it. Apple Pay, Android Pay, PayPal, Venmo, credit cards, Bitcoin. It all takes it, and it's all through one API. It's pretty great. It's used by Uber, Airbnb, GitHub, you know, tons of people. It's like the way to go for payment API. It's pretty great. Check out the sandbox in the link that we're going to do in the show notes, and it's braintreepayments.com/shoptalk is the URL. And welcoming Media Temple as a sponsor too, which is just lovely. Media Temple is the host that I use it at CSS Tricks. We use it on the Shop Talk website. I use it on the CodePen blog. I use Media Temple hosting everywhere and highly recommend it. I love Media Temple. I love the people at Media Temple. I like the support at Media Temple. I like the services that they offer at Media Temple. I like how well they do Twitter at Media Temple. Literally for support and interesting stuff. I like the content they produce at Media Temple, the design of Media Temple. It's wonderful. Check out mediatemple.net. We'll tell you more about both those things later in the show of our look back episode. But for now, Dave, let's hear a little banjo lick.
Shopomaniacs, are you teary in your eyes?
I am.
As we stroll down memory lane.
It is 2016. It's January, the peak winter, perhaps, 2016. And as I look at our very first episode, as we number them, we were smart and we started numbering Shop Talk Show episodes with three digits, thinking that someday, just maybe, we'll hit 100 episodes, which we did. Perhaps you remember that. But the very first episode we titled 000 with nobody. And then that width, like, way of naming episodes, we just never changed. So for most part, if we have a guest on the show, it's number, colon, space, with, and then who it is. And it seemed to work out fine. It's just the number of the show and who's on it. That's the most important bit of information. But that show is dated January 9th, 2012. So not only are we approaching a very, like, seminal numbered show, but we're just over 4 years of Shop Talk Show.
Wow. 4 years old.
I don't know. It feels like it's longer than it has been. But I don't know. Maybe it feels about right. I don't know. When we look at the archives page, you know, you can go to shoptalkshow.com/archives, and it's designed to just be like, you know, a square thumbnails of all the people on the show. And you scroll through, like, holy cow. There's been a ton of people on this show. It sounds about right that it took us 4 years to get there.
Sometimes I go to the archives page and I say, is this my life's work? is this the greatest thing I've ever do? Just because I've had, it's what, like, I think I did the numbers. Like, we've talked to 140-ish people or more just over the course of 4 years, which is a lot. And it's like, I had a good conversation with all of these people. You know, I enjoyed that hour.
You got to ask them what you wanted to ask them. Other people got to ask what they wanted to ask. We heard about probably the things that are, you know, very important in their lives and their work. That's pretty cool. We've talked to a lot of interesting people, which in turn probably, maybe, if we're lucky, made us more interesting people.
Well, everyone knows that the coolest thing you can do at a party is go, well, I heard on a podcast. because that's always a successful parlay.
Oh, I'm the worst at it. I barely know what to say at dinner parties unless I heard it on NPR.
Oh, I'm the worst. My poor wife, I walk in from work or mowing the lawn or whatever, and I'm like, so I heard on a podcast, and she just...
They're crowdsourcing medical advice now. You got to hear about it. It's episode 322 of...
She just visibly groans and just like, oh, God, he's talking about podcasts. But no, it's been great. It's, I actually, you know, I do, after every episode, I go into the house and I just, I had a really delightful conversation with this person, and my wife, you know, not being in the web design industry, is like, who are they? And so I'm like, oh, well, let me
get some back. You know. Everybody in my life too. They're like, who was, they want to know the name. And then I'm like, I'll tell you the name, but you're not going to know them. Not that, you know, not that they don't like deserve to hear the name or whatever, but there we do have a bubble. You know, when people refer to the web bubble, we're the web bubble.
We got it. We are covering.
We're in it. We live it.
The web bubble.
Maybe that's what we should call this. The new, we'll rename it, the Bubble Show. But anyway, just look through the faces on here. I find a couple of interesting things strike out to me thinking about all the faces on here. One of them is that when we ask somebody to be on the show, and that's how you get on the show. Like I would say 98% of these people, we talked about who would be somebody interesting and fun to have on the show, and then I or Dave emails them and say, would you like to be on the show? And then they say yes.
Yes.
That's not 100%, but I bet it's 90%, 92% of people. The response email is, sure, that works. It's like that to me is amazing, especially because it says a little something about tech, I think, in that people like, what are you doing on a Thursday right in the middle of the day? I think most people would probably be like, I'm at work or school or something. I can't just crack open my laptop and join you for an hour. Like, could we do it in the evening or something? Nah, not in tech. They're like, no problem. My schedule is totally free.
Yeah. The number one conflict, I think, is airplane flights. Somebody's like, oh, I'm flying out at that time.
Right. So yeah. I'm going to be 30,000 feet in the sky being flied somewhere for free, probably. Yeah, that's probably the conflict. Or I know that I'm going to be somewhere with bad internet, or I'm on vacation. Can we do it later or something? There's delays, but very commonly people just say yes. And I find that amazing. And, you know, I think to some degree people, they want to be on the show because they wouldn't mind the exposure or whatever. That's probably some of it, but not the majority. The majority is they mostly are passionate people who care about what they do, and to given the opportunity to, I don't know, nerd out for a minute with like-minded people is a treat. You know, I find it to be.
I mean, that's, I think if we had a formula, I think that's just what it is. I think, I don't know. We sort of modeled it after Car Talk. I don't think that's a secret, but Car Talk from NPR. And we still get car questions, which is beautiful.
that is my favorite thing.
But I just, the idea of shop talk, you're just sitting around talking shop. I love it. This is what I enjoy doing. And I think we've done a decent job at it. We've gotten better even. And it's been a very, very good time.
Yeah, we get better slowly. We have not to. Part of what keeps the show ticking, in a sense, is that we keep it very easy. You know, we make sure that we outsource anything that we possibly can, and we don't. You know, we don't spend all day, all week thinking about it. And in a sense, that means that the kind of quality and stuff of the show remains consistent. I do fantasize a little bit about, you know, what would it be like if this was our full time job? We could, you know, and both of us listen to podcasts that, no bones about it, are head and shoulders a higher quality than Shop Talk Show. Shop Talk Show, we hit record, we send it to the editor, and we record for an hour, send it to the show, and the show is an hour. That's not how good podcasts are done. Good podcasts, they have a story that they storyboard. They go interview people. They, you know, they talk with people, their colleagues and producers and whatever. They there's a whole process to creating a show that could be done on the web. Wasn't there like This Developer's Life or whatever? I think that kind of was a short lived show, but they I think they kind of tried to do that, which was pretty good. But for the most part, we can't do that because we need to do the work to talk about the work, and it's kind of hard to do both in a sense.
Yeah, I think if you listen to something like Startup Podcast over at Gimlet, who does Reply All, which these are all these high production, very good, you know.
It's their full-time job, for one thing.
It's their full-time job. And they, you know, you listen to those and you're just like, that was a beautiful experience. Or I want to be 99% invisible. This is beautiful. I want to be these people. But it's like so much effort. You get a glimpse. It's like 20, 30, 40, 60 hours goes into one episode. And, you know, for Chris and I, that would mean we don't make websites, which would mean this podcast would quickly become irrelevant in its.
Maybe there's some kind of balance there, but I don't think it's not that our heart isn't in it. I think that would be a fun future, maybe a like retirement opportunity or something that would be pretty fun. But yeah, I get you know, our career and the way that I want it is to continue working on you know, building websites kind of in a more professional capacity and doing this on the side.
Yeah. Well, it's a sustainable lifestyle for the Shopify show.
And someday I think it would be fun to dabble in it occasionally, maybe do an episode here or there where we do have a story that we want to tell and kind of dabble in more high quality productions. I don't know. We're just speculating on the future. We can do that towards the end of it, perhaps. The other thing that I do when I look through all these faces of people that have been on the show, about how maybe it says something about the industry a little bit. And I know that there's some trouble, especially gender related and stuff, of people leaving the industry. But as you look through just the people that have been on this show, you look at all these people and be like, these people are still killing it. Everybody's on the show. Yes. I generally know what they're doing now and are probably doing the same or better than they were when they were on the show. Like, yeah, these people, you know, we tend to have smart, awesome people on the show who do good work and continue doing great work, you know?
I think my favorite is when I see somebody at a conference who I've only talked to on the interphones, and I see that it's like, oh, it's so good to see you. It's like I enjoyed our time. It is great to experience your personship. So it's kind of a cool experience.
Yeah. Our very first episode was Jonathan Snook, who I think has, you know, went through plenty of different, you know, career kind of stuff happening since we've had him on the show, which has been interesting to watch. You know, I was going through the show and be like, wow, everybody's killing it. This is so great. Sadly came across Alex King's. There's an excellent episode with Alex King. He's passed away just this year. So, well, you know, it's not sad to see his face. It's just, you know, it's sad that happened kind of unfairly to him, but it's cool that we got to have him on the show before that happened and gain from his wisdom.
Yeah, I mean, he's gave so much to the web community, specifically the WordPress community, and I know I've benefited from his work, and it's definitely sad to
he wrote to so him, much about it. And he wrote about WordPress, but he wrote about what it's like running a business and like what it was like kind of transitioning into boss stuff and stuff. He was really he really did give back a lot, especially through writing and code writing. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty cool. So many things have happened since the beginning of the show. I think it's maybe the third iteration of the website. You know, it changes here and there. It's probably I wouldn't say it's due for it, but I'm sure it will evolve. You know, fairly soon we'll do some kind of new style here. I've had some ideas roll through my head on kind of because now when we have the opportunity to redesign a site like Shop Talk Show now, it's not just like, it needs freshening up. We can kind of think, we know we have, you know, going on 200 episodes of bits of content here. Like, what would serve that content better? What would serve our workflow better? We have like real world stuff that we can work from on this. Like, we know what show notes end up being like. How can we serve those better? You know, we have these 200 images of people that we've gathered over time. What can we do with those better? You know, we have, you know, redesigning isn't just, you know, shooting from the hip anymore. It's served by our content, as any good redesign should be.
Yep. It would be fun to do that. I think the redesign that or the first iteration, which people may or may not remember, Chris. But
not they sure I do.
Well, I do. Okay. But I don't think people, you know, we dug up an episode. I think it was episode, oh, geez, let's see. Episode 123. Special episode 123, where we dug up an episode from our archives of our 2004 public access show. And I thought it would be kind of fun to reminisce and play just a short clip from that, if you don't mind.
No.
Dave and I used to do a web show. You know, we've been doing this for a long time. We were like, what? We used to do a public access radio show called Shop
way
Talk.
Back
that's where
day.
This came. Way back, a long, long time
it
ago.
Used to really be on, like real audio. You know, that's how it used to broadcast. You know,
so really old school. So Dave had it on a zip disk he had laying around. You know, bought an old zip drive, got it figured up, and pulled it down and redigitized it up. And we're gonna play that show. And it's actually from like the summer of 2004 or so that we did it. It's really going to be kind of weird. You might, you know, there might be like some surprising information in here, but just kind of a fun thing. And then we'll catch you back at the end of the show. But for the rest of the show, we're going to kind of go back in time.
All right, here we go. Boot up the time traveling machine. Here we go. You're listening to the Shop Talk Show. Let's talk about websites. Hey, everybody. You're listening to the Shop Talk Show, a podcast about making weblogs and forums for your website. I'm Dave Rupert. With me is Chris Coyer.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to our public radio access channel. Thanks so much for listening in. This is going to be a good time. As you know, as we do on Shop Talk, like we have for a long time now, we just do, you know, we do shout outs and we do questions and stuff. So we have lots of you guys we know really like the show a lot that kind of just sent us in questions. We're going to have some guests joining us on the show. We're going to do some shout outs and stuff. So I don't know. I guess maybe we should just get right into it, you know?
We should get going. You guys sent in lots of voicemails, a bunch of CDs, lots of questions. We really appreciate it. So let's see. Let's just get going, shall we? Cripes. Here we go.
We got a good shout out here that we'd like to play for you that, you know, just really has a good positive vibe to it.
Oh, yeah. This gentleman called in about a website that he really likes. So here we go. Let's see. I've got to put the CD in the tray here. It takes a little bit. Here we go.
Gentlemen, I was on the information superhighway yesterday, and I found a delightful site called homestarrunner.com. It makes use of Macromedia's Flash Flare, and oh, how delightful those cartoons are. I watched one where he drew a dragon, and they called him Trogdor the Burninator. Burninator the countryside! It was quite delightful. Anyhow, I just thought you might want to really give Flash a big what's up on the show today, because Macromedia is just killing it. Freehand for life. Chester Paddington. Bye, chaps.
Oh, wow. Chester Paddington. Wow, Chris.
I haven't went back and listened to that one for a while. That was definitely our weirdest. That was Shop
That's
Talk
probably weirdest show ever. Our voice presence on radio has come along.
We really just went for it there on that one.
It's kind of all in on a nice concept show. We'll call them concept show.
We've done a few concept shows. We're trying to do more of them because, in fact, I just got a little feedback, like uncomfortably close to today, of something that's like, I go in and out on Chop Talk because it's kind of like, I don't know, it's a bit repetitive for me. So
really?
We tried to stay away from answering the same questions all the time, but you know, I think despite our best efforts, we get caught up in talking about the same stuff a lot, you know, because we get the like, what should I learn next? What do you think about this, you know, framework? You know, does JavaScript matter? I don't know.
Should I use a preprocessor?
Yeah. So, you know, we do our best to not answer those and direct them to the FAQ. But, you know, sometimes this is, the, you know, this is a show about a niche subject, front end web development. And, sometimes the topics are, you know, how much is there to talk about is the point. We've done more weird shows though. Remember that? I mean, we literally had Paul Irish's mom on just purely because that would be funny, but also because I know that, you know, I had talked to her before at, because I was at Paul's wedding, and it was fun to talk to her, and thought we could dig up some stories and stuff, and we did that. That was pretty fun.
I this was maybe one of my favorite. Can I? I'm not going to call favorites, but. It hilarious joke. Paul's mom. Sure. Yes, let's do it. But then it just, it was really great to hear how somebody who's not a professional web developer yet has a very professional web developer son. But somebody who's not a web developer, just how they make and create websites by themselves using whatever tools they can find. This sounds offensive, but just how does a lay person, not a non-web person, web developer?
She had no problems with Skype, I'll tell you that, which I can try to put two professional web developers and try to get them on a Skype call, and it's like, good luck.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I just, no, boy, Skype. It was just so cool to hear how she is using, you know, her using web to kind of do her business, her book, just even in kind of on the side for retirement. I thought that was very, very cool to hear just a different perspective on, than we're used to. So it's worth the listen.
Using web to be like, we're changing people's lives, man. But then, you know, because it sounds like just rhetoric or whatever, but it ends up being true sometimes. I think we're going to try to pull a clip from this, but it was a little hard. To this day, if somebody comes up to me, which occasionally happens only at like conferences and stuff, like, oh, hey, Chris, nice to meet you. It's usually CSS tricks related, more and more CodePen related. And then if it's Shop Talk, it's this. It's the episode that I recorded with the guy who literally hacked me. the hacker episode. Did we call it anything special?
It was a special episode. It was like episode 108.5, if you will. Kind of. I think March 24th, 2014. You sat down with a man who calls himself Earl Drudge, which is not his real name. It's just an anagram for drug dealer, which was his other profession. Earl liked to scour the web for Bitcoins, and he found a possible exploit. And since he was I don't know what his motivation was exactly, but...
Yeah, but that's right. That was the target was not me. The target was just like, I just want a high profile site because I think I found some obscure exploit.
And so he socially engineered his way into your website, which is interesting in itself. He did not use ones and zeros or SQL.
No, or code XSS. At all. He just used, you know, in a sense, big brass balls. You know, it was because what they did is he called on the phone. And finagled that, you know, it was like, I'm having problems. I need access to this thing. I don't have it. And they were like, no, because you can't prove who you are. And then like, he's like, oh, wait, I'll prove to you who I am. Cause he didn't have any of my information, of course, cause he's not me, but then like downloaded like a compelling ish Photoshop file of like a passport and like doctored it all up with information from me on it and sent it to them. And then that like looked fairly legitimate and was what got him access. So that was like not only social engineering, but like, you know, possession of fake government documents. Yeah. And shit.
That was criminal mischief.
Yeah, straight up. So it was like, you know, so we went through all this and got access, and the end result of this was I was doxxed, I guess they call it these days, right? Where my like social security number and stuff was put up on sites, but they were put up on sites that like you can't even get to unless you're running the Onion router and like people invite you and stuff. So like apparently, yes, you can go get my social security number on some sites. But then we learn in this episode that if you want somebody's social security number, it's like pretty easy to get anyway. And I think
$3.
Yeah, or something like that, which is crazy to learn. So we just got through the show. We got like a look at some criminal underworld stuff that we don't normally get to see, at least through his eyes, you know. And he, you know, he knows more about it than we do, as me and Dave don't really dabble in those worlds because obviously it's pretty dangerous. He was committing some, I think, straight up federal crimes here when you fake a document like that and use it to your advantage.
Yeah, I think that puts you in a bad place.
He agreed to be on the show. I mean, that's the weirdest part. It's not that this stuff happened. It's that we were actually able to talk to him directly about this. So
I think it's just a very interesting show. Just that I think everyone should, if you're listening to this show, you will really, really like find that fascinating. I'm curious, Chris, where, what, 2 years after that incident, have you experienced any tragic downfall?
Okay. Not really. In fact, I signed up for that thing that's like, you know, they advertise on like Wheel of Fortune and stuff. What is that? I can't even remember. I get an email.
Identity Block.
Yeah, but it's like the big one. And I think that LifeLock. And I think they do a fairly good job, actually. So, yeah, nothing ever happened. Nothing even slightly suspicious, I don't think, which is good. I can't really remember one anyway.
And Earl even said LifeLock is – he could get around it, I think, just using his chutzpah. But he's just – it's not worth – the time almost is the breakdown.
Yeah, he said it was pretty good, right? And then he was like, he was even at the end, I think, was like, I could try to contact the site and get them to take down your social security number and stuff. But then he was saying, you know, of course, this is like perfect criminal garbage, is that the people that run those sites, if they get takedown notices, they get like an extra little like sticker applied to them to call more attention to them. So if you ever try to fight them to get information taken down, their response to it is to make that information even more prevalent and findable, which is so nasty.
Such a dark belly underworld. I remember once I found out what was happening to you, I spent quite a bit of time just like researching Tor and kind of this Onion network and all these kind of like,
I don't think the Onion is inherently bad. That's the one that just kind of routes you through lots of stuff to kind of protect what you're doing. I think there's people that use Tor fairly, you know, because they care about privacy.
Right. But yes, I sure. it's also like calling Mos Eisley, you know, like a good place to get a drink. You know, it's got a bar.
It just seems like something like Cory Doctorow would be doing or whatever. Right. Okay, so that was interesting. In fact, you know, I've been a target before. Like nothing really bad came of this, thankfully. It could have kind of been bad, but worse than losing like somebody getting into your hosting is somebody getting into your domain. Because if they, you know, if you lose your domain name, that's much worse. Because chances are you have some backups of your website or whatever, or can get them or use a third party service or something. At least I do for sure. But if you lose your domain name, that's bad. That's really bad. They're really hard to transfer and really hard to fight against stuff. And that's happened to me too. I never found out anything about that. I think there was a rash of that going around for a while. Most people got their domains back and not everybody did, which is pretty sad. But I mean, that wasn't a Shop Talk show thing, but yeah, I've been a target before and that was worse. That had worse repercussions than this did. Fortunately, again, just caught it in time and the right people fought for me at the right time that nothing too bad happened to me, but it's funny. There's bad people out there. There are bad people out there.
Well, I mean, how many we have a thing, just a WordPress plugin, right? That blocks like illegitimate signups or whatever. And I think it's, you know, it's like we have blocked 48,973 malicious login attempts. 50,000 people have tried to like just try to log in to Shop Talk. I can't. People, it's that thing. It's like you have to assume everyone's evil and wicked, like when you build a website, you know? You can't just assume like, ah, it's good. You just have to kind of assume. And I hate that about the world, but I think it's kind of true.
You know, it's got pretty good security probably, but boom, boom, ch-ch. This episode of Shop Talk is brought to you in part by Braintree. Developers around the world have embraced Braintree's V.0 SDK as the easiest way to add secure mobile payments to their apps and websites. I listed them at the top of the show, but I'll list them again because it's pretty impressive. PayPal, Bitcoin, Venmo, Apple Pay, Android Pay, credit cards, all with a single integration, which is so great because... oh, they're, you know, I've lived through development situations where each one of those is a different API and managing them and offering to your users, oh, are you currently paying with this payment type and want to switch to another payment type? Oh, don't mind me. Let me use a whole bunch of APIs and a whole bunch of timing. And oh, it's just it's a difficult situation. Why not just use Braintree and we use one API for all of those different payment types? Pretty fabulous. Elegant code, clear documentation, as easy as 10 lines of code. The SDK is available in .NET, Node, Java, Perl, PHP, Python, Ruby. Pretty fabulous. The URL you want to go to is braintreepayments.com/shoptalk. Simple, secure payments, code you can integrate in minutes. Developers, we got you, they say. You can call and talk to a real person about this stuff and they'll help you. So that is the payments API of choice. I am telling you.
Well,
you know what? We have advertising on this show. We've had almost from the beginning. I don't know if that was our plan from the beginning, but I think at the, you know, when you start a show like this, we're like, let's just go for it, whatever. You know, like, I don't know, maybe somebody will offer to buy a show, advertising. That's what happened to me in the early days of CSS Tricks. People just offer, you know. And then you're like, I don't know, I guess we'll do it. I guess we'll manage it ourselves. I guess maybe we'll make, you know, some kind of template that we can use for an invoice that we could send it to them. I don't know. And that worked for a while because it's not that hard. Because I think occasionally we had, you know, we probably started with one ad per show and then I think then had a little more demand than we could handle. But we've never broke more than two ads per show. And I think that feels about right. There's definitely some shows I listen to that have three and four and it's like, oh my God.
Oh, I've been picking up on that and I feel pretty good about our two.
Yeah, two seems right to me. And I think we can do them justice too. I think if it was four, it would be like, that's all we would talk about. Anyway, and we have some help with it these days. We use a company called Syndicate Ads to do it that do kind of content marketing stuff, and they manage selling them for us. But, you know, if they come to us directly, we'll just send them over to Syndicate Ads because it's nice to have somebody, like I was saying at the beginning, it's anything we can have to kind of reduce the amount of hours into this. We got to 200 shows because we have help. And Syndicate Ads definitely kind of helps us with that. So if you ever have any interest in sponsoring the show, you could do that. There's a calendar and you pick dates and just kind of go for it and do it fast. Because, you know, when's the last time you listened to a Shop Talk that didn't have two sponsors on it? You know, they tend to sell.
Yep. Well, maybe we should do just a quick shout out to people who have helped us. We are using FAM transcription services for episodes that we provide transcripts for. We're not at the point. This is Tina FAM, by the way. I believe it's her full name. But she does a great job and helps us out, and we really appreciate it. We don't have every episode transcribed because it's just sort of it costs money. It costs, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we probably could. We just don't yet. You know, it's one of those things where it's whatever. It's a little cost prohibitive, not entirely. We probably should just bite the bullet and do it. But you know how those things go. Everything's a decision.
No, and I would like. I think we need to do more, and I think we just probably need to set a policy on when we do it and how we do it and everything. But so FAM has helped us out in transcripts. We had Aaron Dowd who is he came on as an editor. He has since moved on, but he runs a site. I think it's called The Podcast Dude. That's his Twitter handle, but he's kind of teaching people how to do podcasting and editing over on the Sean West Network. But he's gone to the Sean West Network. So we picked up Chris Enns from Good Stuff, and he's been helping us out doing audio. So we really appreciate his work.
Yeah, he's been creative and helping us do stuff a little bit beyond editing here and there. You know, like, can we, you know, not only stitch things together and make them better, but add little sound effects here where it works, or background music where it's appropriate, or that kind of thing. So
if you've ever seen our sneak peeks on Twitter, that's all him digging out embarrassing sound clips. And Simplecast FM does all of our bandwidth. They're a bandwidth provider, but we host our MP3s through them, and then it goes through our WordPress and out to you. If you're starting a podcast, hands down, this is the best service to just get up and going. Don't just sign up, pay. It's like super cheap, but you sign up and then you just start you just post podcasts. You'll have an RSS feed. It can go out to iTunes and you don't have to worry about it. And then that's why I tell everyone, it's like, get 10 episodes out and be done. And then kind of reevaluate what you want to do, where you want to host. But the most important thing is don't let the website block you from podcasting. So I really recommend simplecast.fm.
That's a really good advice. Yep.
Yeah. So I know these sound like advertisements, but these are people who are people and companies, I guess, that help us actually produce the show. We you know, you're 200 episodes in or so. It's hard. It takes time. And so the dream is we just sit here, hit record and hit publish. But man, it's kind of a lot of work to get a podcast out.
It is. Even though we outsource just about everything we possibly can, it's still quite a lot of work on us. And even though, in just the fact that guests are so easy to book usually is amazing, you know, because that can be a full-time job at a radio station. You know, imagine trying to get some author publishes some famous book. You know, there's radio stations all around the country and world trying to get them on. They're like impossible, you know, trying to go back and forth, trying to find a time. And then they get the author, but the author's just on their iPhone, and then the car drives under a bridge. And, you know, it's like, we never have that. We have these people who are like, Thursday afternoon at 1 o'clock. Sure, can I buy a microphone?
or it's like, that's like 4 a.m. Australia time, but I'll be there.
And we use, we use WordPress, and we have some kind of PodPress or something that helps us publish, which is pretty easy. Again, you could use Simplecast FM for that. We just had kind of a legacy setup, and it mostly works for us. We dream about switching to Jekyll or something one day, because occasionally we have some trouble with the site. And then, of course, if you mention that you're having trouble with your site and then it's WordPress, the choir of the universe comes in and be like, why don't you use something else? Which, in the case of Shop Talk, may actually be possible, because it's not that complicated of a site. The hardest thing is making 200 episodes getting converted into markdown files.
I actually started the process. It's actually built in Jekyll, I think, somewhere on one of my computers. And but the problem, it was purely the metadata. I would have had to gone through and hand edit 100-something files, and it was just like, Chris, I don't think we can get this done.
I mean, there's probably a script that can be written at some point, but I like WordPress anyway, and we had some troubles with it that I fixed recently. If you've been to the site and had it actually load up properly and immediately, that's because we did some maintenance work on the site, and it's now happy again, thankfully.
We had a cool little memory leak for almost a whole year where you'd log into the WordPress admin, and the server would fall over. And that was
mostly I found the thing, and I reported it to the proper authorities, so we'll just leave it at that. I was going to shout out Gather Content, which is pretty sweet. I don't know if anybody out there has used that, but we use it for advertising through Syndicate Ads. That's how it gets everybody on board with a particular piece of content that's going to be let's say a sponsored post that runs on CSS Tricks or a sponsor spot for Shop Talk. We use that, and it's kind of cool. They submit the little bits of content that are necessary, what should be in the show notes, what's the URL that should be used, what are talking points for the show, or all these special little bits that you can control yourself. And then there's all these states that it can be in, I need you to look at this, or this is ready for publishing, or this is ready for a review, or whatever. It's a pretty cool app that takes content and the state of that content. I quite like it. And for actually writing content, I've been using Draft, which is kind of like, you know, a lot of people like bemoan the loss of editorially. It's in that kind of category. The URL is Draft In on that. I don't know why I'm mentioning this. It's just, it's in the, we're giving shout outs to cool software we use.
Software that gets us through.
Yeah. We should do a whole software episode sometime. So maybe we'll talk about something else. We have a little bit of statistics to share, right?
About yeah. So we've done, this is 199. We've had about 140 guests, and that's kind of factoring out panel shows, which there are three: the ALA rebroadcast, the Inline Styles one, and then the one on advertising, ad blocking. So we've had about, you know, I think about three ish panels, but that's tough because some of those guests are repeat guests. But we've had in general, this is kind of my rough numbers, we've had about 140 guests on the show, and what I found was interesting was the male female breakdown was about 90-50, so a 9-to-5 ratio, which ends up being about 65% male, 35% female, which I think that's fair. If I'm trying to judge myself, we had Ash Dryden on last week, so I'm probably not critical enough right now, but I think that's pretty fair. But I think, you know, could it be 50-50? I'm not sure. It's probably actually really hard to get to 50-50 from a like 4 years archive. It's kind of like raising your GPA after 4 years. But I'm kind of glad we kind of ended up with those kind of numbers. So what are your thoughts, Chris?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I wish they were better. You know, even though I actively try and feel like we're doing a good job, we'll get it up. And then it's like, it's funny to focus so much on that number when there's so many other, you know, ratios that we could focus on.
Those ratios. I mean, I literally don't know the LGBTQ quantity because, like, we don't ask, it's not my business really. Race is another one. People of color. I think we can do a better job. I think, admittedly, I think both you and I have talked about this before. It's like, oh gosh, we.
And it is. This is one of those things where it literally is our responsibility, kind of, because we have this. I mean, I shouldn't even qualify it with kind of. We're a show that has a voice that is out there in our industry, and we're intentionally broadcasting certain voices. We have control about the voices that we are choosing to broadcast, and I think that it does make sense to have a kind of a representative choices there. And if we only, you know, I don't know, it's not something that we're absolved from just because we're a small show, or we're just a, you know, a hobbyist, or, you know, there's kind of no excuse for us not to do a good job with diversity.
No, it can be so much better in I guess an apology, because really it's when I'm very convinced of the fact, and this was kind of my CSS DevConf talk, is when we sort of suppress kind of voices, you know, we don't get a full picture. And I think what you and I both want from this podcast and from the web community is to have a full picture of who we make websites for and why, and what decisions do we make. I think we want kind of that full picture.
And it only makes the show more fun and more better anyway. So whatever, right. You know, it's not like going to suffer because of any choice we make there potentially. So that's pretty good. 140 guests of the coming on 200 shows. And that means that shows don't always have a guest.
Right. So we did about, I think we reached, what was it, rapid fire 53? In episode 190, so 53 shows where we just did question on answer. I forget, what's our tagline?
Oh, yeah, hot question on answer action or something.
Yes,
that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Is that not? Did we?
Yeah, that's LGBTQQA. LGBTQA. Oh, sorry, the universe.
Dang.
Yeah. How many sound effects do we do? We don't have statistics on that.
statistics.
Oh, that's too funny. But that's that's the kind of show that was born out of, I don't know, sometimes we can't get a guest or it's hard to, or last minute we need to not have one. And we have more questions than we know what to do with. So let's do more of them quickly. Generally, they turned out to that we answered questions, but not particularly quickly. So over time, we experimented with having like 1 or 2 minute timelines and stuff. We could do that. I still think it's fun to do them. I don't know that we need to think that hard about it. In fact, like this episode, I wouldn't mind if we did more Dave and Chris episodes on particular topics.
Yep. And you know, it was in a rapid fire episode. Would you take a stroll with me down memory lane, Chris?
Well, okay.
It was in a rapid fire episode 137, where we experienced the birth of one of Shop Talk's greatest, most loved personalities. Let's take a listen.
Say that more. Okay. Good luck, Jason. Mike H. writes in. He says, when editing pre-built WordPress templates for a company I work for, I often find myself using display none to get rid of content that the client doesn't want on the page. Is it possible to overuse this? Yes. Should I be digging deeper into the code to remove these items? We are very busy and I see this as a style issue, which should be dealt with by using CSS. And it's faster than going through the template files, but it definitely feels like a dirty fix. What are your thoughts on this? Widgets and stuff in the sidebar, and he's like, I don't want that. Display none. I don't want this footer. Display none.
Yeah, I mean, I maybe disagree that it's a style issue because it's a content issue. I mean, you have extra content widgets on the page that shouldn't be there. I personally would never, I do declare, I would never output a div that would not be used on the page.
That's good. That's like a
That's my mantra. Very, very web standardsy Southern gentleman. Can somebody make a web standard Southern gentleman?
I need a costume for Halloween, and I might steal that from you. That would be great.
I do declare. I do declare micro formats are the future.
You should always have something you can click to jump down the page to navigation.
I do declare what we are looking at here is an H profile.
I see here you've jumped from an H1 to an H3. That's an abomination.
Your document outline is horrific. Oh, boy. Colonel WB Standards.
Yeah, he's good. He should make some appearances here and there.
He should. Maybe he should. We should invite him out for episode 2.
The trouble with Colonel Standards is that you have to spell the word Colonel, the hardest word to spell.
Yeah, it has the word colon in it. It makes me very uncomfortable. So we had rapid fires, 53 rapid fire shows, 13 crossover episodes.
Those are fun. Those are very intentional. There are other people that have shows that are related to web development of some kind that we invited the hosts of that show on to join us.
And not all those shows are still going, sadly. But I think those are really fun for me because it's just kind of like a, I don't know, it's kind of a mashup of your two favorite things, in my opinion. So I like those episodes. The most recent one was HTTP 203 with Paul and Jake, where I think you and I got steamrolled by Paul and Jake. They were on fire.
They know how to use their... their mouths. No, they're amazing guys. I would like to see them in real life sometime soon. They're fun to be around. Before we couldn't go to, I think they just got done hosting at the time we recorded that show, the Chrome Dev Summit, which is a fun time, I think.
Maybe we should try to see what we can get, see if we can get out to Chrome Dev Summit. See what it takes.
Yeah. You got to kind of know somebody.
All right. Well, I'll use my influence.
Yeah.
We went to 3 conferences. Speaking of, we went to an event apart.
Was it only 3? I wrote this note in here, and I don't remember if that's the only, if those
We've
are the only
probably
3.
Been, well, we were at like Generate NYC and stuff together.
But all 3 of these we actually did things
So an event apart in Chicago, we did a live show. That was a lot of fun. We did we were on a boat together at CSS DevCon.
Which we didn't do anything at that. I mean, Dave talked and I did a show and tell and stuff. We didn't do anything Shock Top show related at it, but we did do a recap episode of this show about that conference. So that kind of counts.
And then the front-end design conference was our first live show. Dan Denny taking a big risk in front of the stage. and
that one was particularly – I mean, they were all three of these things were pretty great. And we've been kind of trying to figure out which ones we can do in the future because it's, you know, it's tough to get us both – we both live in different cities and have different things going on. But I'm sure, very sure that at least once in 2016 we'll – Dave and I will be at the same conference and we'll do an on-stage version of the show. Somewhere, stay tuned. I think there's a couple possibilities. Yeah, that's one sounding pretty likely, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I need to email some people back. So, looking very fun. Yeah.
If you ever hear that sound clip, Just Build Websites, which you might as well play. How can you not play it in the look back?
Oh, yeah. Episode. This was when we brought like 417 people on the show all at once to record this Hallmark Gem.
Just Build Websites.
The Shop Talk mantra.
That's really great. It's still like dear to my heart. Not only was that really fun, but we've said it so many times. I really mean it. It's still like the most advice, the best advice I can give anybody who's worried about coming up in this industry and stuff. You know, it's straight up good advice. Occasionally people use it against us now. They write in and they say, I know Just Build Websites, but I'm trying to get better and I don't know how. You know, you're like, come on, you can't, you know.
I think it applies in so many situations. There's even like a, you know, there's so much of a stink up going on right now. A little bit of my favorite, a little bit of hot drama right now. Just like, oh, JavaScript is bad and dumb and takes too much effort, you know. And it's like, true. You're just complaining.
What they really mean is build tools and, you know.
Yeah, and React. Build tools and React are so bad and dumb. And you know, and it's like, totally get you. I understand where you're coming from. Right now, you're just complaining. And I think what you really need to do is just build websites. Like, you should just, let's just build a website. And then you talk about why you built it your way and why it's superior. That's fine. Let's do that. But it's just interesting.
We had a funny one come in. I should read it off the cuff. We had a funny one come in about on this very subject that I very much enjoyed as a question. It was a one line question. Let me see if I can find it quick.
Why are you dumb, React? No,
no. It was Blaine Huff, and we're not, you know, not ganging up on anybody here, but he wrote in, what are your thoughts on JavaScript web stacks utilizing Node, Express, MongoDB, Mongoose, React, and Relax? And I always thought that it would be a funny answer. It's just to say, relax. I don't have any thoughts on that. It sounds like you're building a website with those technologies. Good, you know?
Yeah, I think it's a very thick stack, but you know, I don't know.
You know, I don't know, because it's like you got to have some kind of backend language. So it sounds like you're using Node, and your Express is just like a server on Node, right? So you know, whatever. MongoDB is the where you're storing the data. So you know, those things would be like MySQL, Apache, and PHP or whatever. It's just a more modern version of them or whatever. I don't know what Mongoose is. I know. I think you'll find React is not a framework. And then I don't even know what Relax is. But it's just kind of like it's just some technologies and you're using a website. I'm not going to tell you that you get 50 gold stars for choosing those exact ones. You know, like I in my old age, I just do not care what you build websites with. Just make sure that they're accessible and usable and, you know, take care of the users who are using them.
I do agree. Oh. It doesn't matter what it says. anyway, it doesn't matter. It just output good semantic HTML, and we should all be good.
And you know where you could host those websites, which would be no problem at all, is to go to Media Temple. CSSGeek.net and do that. They are sponsoring the show this time, and I am quite happy about it. In fact, they're sponsoring CSS Tricks this year, too, which is great for me. I have been on them for a long time. They're kind of some of the first hosts that I went with where I finally kind of started understanding hosting and knowing what I was paying for. And it's I kind of credit them because the way that their interface is set up is so kind of nice that it teaches you what you need to know, and they have really good documentation to reference to teach you what you need to know. I'm sure MediaTemple was the first host that I, you know, logged into to kind of like repoint name servers at a different name server and like had no trouble with that and thus was able to host a website and thus, you know, I'm not saying MediaTemple is solely responsible for me becoming a web developer, but they were there at a time that was influential to me, and I'm glad they were and have been around a long time doing great stuff. So that's pretty cool. They offer all these different services, right? A lot of people are aware of their grid service, which is like their most inexpensive plan that works great for a lot of people because you can host so many websites on it. It kind of auto scales and stuff. But then, you know, if you outgrow that, you get into their VPS type of thing, you know, virtualized servers, which are pretty sweet and more powerful and stuff, and you have more kind of control over what you run on them and stuff. But there's a bunch of services that you may not even know that they offer that are either new or just they need us to explain them. They need better marketing. One of them is they have fully managed WordPress hosting. So if you know that you're doing WordPress, you can use them for that. And it's nice because WordPress is this like known set of software. So if there's something wrong with WordPress, the people that can support the hosting of WordPress know what to look for. They know what common problems are. They know what the database structure is like. So they know they can look at your site and more quickly kind of diagnose one of the problems. That's yet another kind of unsung plus one of using WordPress is that people can, the support network of people that can help you with it is bigger, which is pretty cool. They also have, which you might not know about, is managed AWS. So you think of MediaTemple as like a competitor to AWS. And I mean, I guess in a sense they kind of are, but they work together in the sense that if you want to buy AWS services, you can do it through MediaTemple and use MediaTemple's support network then, which is pretty great. So they have like a hardcore great support staff and cloud architects and sysadmins and stuff that will help you use AWS, which I think is just awesome, you know, because AWS is weird and complicated and kind of has not so great documentation. Get MediaTemple to help you with it. Lovely stuff. Thank you, MediaTemple, for the support. You'll be hearing more from them over time and throughout this year, I think.
They're not paying for this. We have some MediaTemple servers, and one thing I really like about MediaTemple is they're really good at upselling you. It sounds like upselling, but not really. It's they say, hey, this server, this is old hardware and we're cycling it out and we want to transfer you, like, just you click a button and we're going to transfer you over to this new server with all this new hardware. It'll be faster, better, you know, way better. And I love that feature. It's a little bit of work, like every 2 years or something like that, but they're really good at kind of keeping you up and going on good hardware. And that's like very cool. And I appreciate that from that service.
That is wonderful. Literally, seriously, thanks to MediaTemple and BraintreePayments.com/ShopTalk and everybody else who's sponsored ShopTalk over the years. It kind of makes it worth doing in a sense, because of course there is money attached to worth in some sense that it would be too expensive for us to do these days with no sponsors at all. We would probably just have to not do the show, which would be sad. So that's fun. We had a bunch of, you know, to kind of continue talking about what we've done. We've done a bunch of panels. Panels were really fun. In fact, I have another one already scheduled. Sometimes panels, sometimes panels are like in the bubble, as it were, are associated with like South by Southwest and people like not planning and just showing up at them and being boring and unplanned and having, you know, boring moderators and stuff. But panels can be some of the most compelling possible content. And we've had some pretty dang awesome ones. I really, really, really liked our panel on inline styles. No joke. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a very interesting conversation to be a part of. I really liked the Event Apart panel that we broadcast, and all our panels have been great. And we have some more coming up to have more voices on it, and then have, you know, Dave and I be kind of the hosts of the panel. And, you know, we have some experience operating a show, so that we tend to make fairly listen-to-able panelists, or not panelists, but kind of moderators to the panel.
Well, I like how I play the role of the browser in every single one. And so if anyone ever cites the browser, I can respond as in the character of the browser. That is correct.
Yeah, that's great. So that's stuff that's kind of going forward. We're more topic-based shows. I think I, you know, maybe personally I'm getting a kick more out of that. Like, can we have a topic and then invite guests around that topic? So we can do some Q&A that is related to that topic. But rather than it just being based on a person, it can be based on a topic. And then we bring the person on or multiple people on in regards to that topic. So if you're looking for a show, or whatever, you kind of know what you're in for a little more. And I just think that it guides the conversation in a more clear way and stuff. So topic-based shows, I think, will be a bit of the future for Shop Talk shows. So feel free to send us ideas for that. I think that'll be fun. Who knows? Maybe there'll be some more Dave and Chris style shows. We have, you know, we have multiple random files in our Dropbox of like idea piles for people to have on and ideas for the show and jokes. All kinds of stuff.
The joke file is getting, we got
we used to do in the early days, we always opened with a joke and that
open with a joke. It was like a Jimmy Fallon variety show. But and also big thanks. I mean, we're heading into episode 200 here. Big thanks to you, the listener. And that goes without saying, if you, there's something you like about the show or dislike, be nice about it, but let us know on Twitter, at Shop Talk Show, obviously. And just hit us up. Let us know. We want to make a show that you want to listen to week to week. And, you know, if something is getting repetitive or long in the tooth, let us know. We can take a little bit of criticism, as long as it's packaged nicely. And then, but yeah, we have, you know, we have lots of people who listen to the show. So we'd love to hear what you think is good and what you like, so that we can provide more of that, obviously. And Chris, I mean, is it time to bid adieu?
Yes. Yes, it is. I'm afraid. One episode 199, a look back. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. ShopDocShow.com.